The long and short of it is we have to look at what additional steps, measures could be taken.
Weighing action against Myanmar, it's Thursday, December 16th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Chris Cascale in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, former Afghan president speaks. UN urges support for refugees. Yarn street art. It's all on today's VOA Asia. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said Wednesday it is necessary to look at applying additional measures against Myanmar, where 10 months after a military coup, the crisis has only continued to worsen. Speaking to reporters alongside Malaysian Foreign Minister Saifuddin Abdullah during a visit to Kuala Lumpur, Blinken said the goal of actions by individual countries or a collective effort would be to pressure the regime to put the country back on a democratic trajectory.
The long and short of it is we have to look at what additional steps, measures could be taken, try to move things in a better direction, and that's something that that we're looking at. We continue also to look actively at terminations of the actions taken in Myanmar and whether they constitute genocide, and that's something we're looking at very actively right now.
Blinken said ASEAN's five-point consensus plan that the junta signed on to needs to be implemented, referencing the Association of Southeast Asian Nations. Saifuddin said the situation in Myanmar will be an important part of the agenda when ASEAN foreign ministers meet next month, and that a more detailed plan for the roadmap is necessary. During a speech in Jakarta, Indonesia, Blinken called on China to stop aggressive actions in the Indo-Pacific region. Beijing has already rejected Blinken's assertions, as VOA's Cindy Sain reports.
Antony Blinken is on his first visit to Southeast Asia as Secretary of State, starting off his trip in Indonesia. It's a heavyweight country in a critical region, says Brian Harding of the United States Institute of Peace.
It's clear that Southeast Asia, sitting at the heart of the Indo-Pacific region, is really the region of the world where U.S.-China strategic competition is playing out most acutely. But there are also innumerable reasons why the United States should be interested in Southeast Asia with 650 million people, a $3 trillion economy. So Secretary Blinken choosing to travel to Indonesia first is the right move.
Freedom of navigation in the South China Sea is a focal point of Blinken's visit to an area where, he said, China's actions threaten the movement of those $3 trillion in goods annually. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
That's why there's so much concern from Northeast Asia to Southeast Asia and from the Mekong River to the Pacific Islands about Beijing's aggressive actions, claiming open seas as their own, distorting open markets through subsidies to its state-run companies, denying the exports or revoking deals for countries whose policies it does not agree with, engaging in illegal, unreported, and unregulated fishing activities. Countries across the region want this behavior to change. We do too.
China was quick to refute Blinken's criticism. Wang Wenbin is the Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesperson.
I would like to point out that the U.S., on the one hand, dramatically plays up the so-called China threat while claiming to have no intention to start a conflict with China on the other. This kind of self-contradictory practice does not accord with the spirit of the recent meeting between our two heads of state and will struggle to gain approval from the countries in the region.
Confrontations with Chinese vessels are frequent in the disputed South China Sea. Blinken made clear the U.S. wants to ensure people and countries in the region have the freedom to decide on their own futures and partners. Here again, Brian Harding, who spoke with VOA.
Southeast Asian countries, more than anything, do not want to choose between the United States and China or any of their other partners. It is inevitable that the United States, China, and also Japan, India, Australia are going to be deep and important players for these countries. And trying to force them to choose is a bad policy. But setting out what the United States brings to the table, that's a good policy. And that's what he did, I think.
Cindy Sain, VOA News.
Read more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia We're also on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the VOAnews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on VOAnews.com. Blinken postpones Thailand trip after a member of U.S. traveling press tests positive for COVID-19. Charting the future of China's infrastructure projects in Africa after a decade of lending. Analysts say new COVID pills could be game-changer for North Korea. China promotes vaccines around the world, but critics point to lower efficacy. Myanmar journalists reported to have died in army custody. Get complete coverage on these headlines, plus more stories on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the VOAnews.com website. Thank you for joining us on VOA Asia on this Thursday. The Taliban didn't take the Afghan capital. They were invited, says the man who issued the invitation. In an Associated Press interview, former Afghan President Hamid Karzai offered some of the first insights into the secret and sudden departure of Afghan President Ashraf Ghani and how he came to invite the Taliban into the city to protect the population.
It was a request to come in and protect the population so that the country, the city doesn't fall into chaos and the unwanted elements who would probably loot the country, loot shops. So it was an automatic process subsequent to that, an inevitability.
Karzai was adamant that there would have been an agreement for a peaceful transition had Ghani remained in Kabul. Asked to describe the Taliban, Karzai said, "I would describe them as Afghans, but Afghans who have gone through a very difficult period in their lives, as all other Afghans have done for the past 40 years. Karzai added that the Afghans have made mistakes on all sides, in which the international community and those who interacted with us have made tremendous mistakes, and it's time for all of us to realize that and to look back at the mistakes that we all made to make it better," he said. Still to come on VOA Asia, UN urges support for refugees. Happening now in Asia, fire officials in Hong Kong say firefighters have contained a blaze that broke out at the World Trade Center in the popular Causeway Bay shopping district, trapping dozens of people on the rooftop. Authorities say at least 13 people were hospitalized for treatment. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. The United Nations top refugee official is urging nations to strengthen their support for people fleeing conflict, persecution, and violence, and to keep their borders open to people in need of international protection. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva at the opening of a two-day high-level officials meeting on refugees.
In a video, the UN High Commissioner for Refugees, Filippo Grandi, sets the scene for this two-day virtual event. The meeting is the first follow-up to the Global Refugee Forum held 2 years ago. Nearly 1,400 pledges were made then to better support refugees and host communities. Senior government officials, refugees, and various partners are here to take stock of how many pledges have been kept. High Commissioner Grandi gives the global picture a mixed review. He says countries are doing better at including refugees in national COVID-19 healthcare responses and in providing protection and greater livelihood opportunities. He says progress has been made toward eradicating statelessness and in the field of education. He warns, however, that too many countries are turning their backs on people in need of safety and protection.
To this end, I must repeat my grave concerns regarding certain trends in some of the world's industrialized countries, including closed borders, sometimes very violent pushbacks, the construction of walls and barriers, the outsourcing of international legal and moral obligations concerning people's right to seek asylum.
The UNHCR reports at least 83.4 million people have been forcibly displaced around the world, and of that number, 26.4 million are refugees. Developing countries host about 85% of the world's refugees. Grandi is calling on wealthier countries to assume a greater share of this responsibility. He also is appealing for more third country solutions to intractable refugee problems.
Resettlement is, of course, a key avenue. And I'm grateful to all those states that have continued to maintain or increase their resettlement quotas over the past years, as well as the United States of America for reinvigorating its resettlement program.
Officials attending the event will spotlight several key areas, including the response to the COVID-19 pandemic, climate action, and displacement. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Finally on VOA Asia, yarn bombing is part street art, part graffiti, and part activism. A new art trend in New York City takes the age-old craft of crocheting to the streets, where traditionally walls and fences have been serving as canvases for graffiti artists. Nina Vishnova has the story, narrated by Anna Rice.
Knit graffiti, textile street art, street-style crochet. There's no one term that depicts the new art form precisely. Nothing that can really encompass all of the meanings of yarn bombing. The new art form came to be almost by accident. The owner of a small boutique in Houston, Texas, wrapped her front door handle with fuzzy yarn. Her customers loved the idea, and soon things spun out of control.
I don't know how many pounds of yarn. I mean, we're somewhere in the 60 pounds of yarn, I think.
Naomi Lawrence is a professional florist and one of the best yarn bombers in New York City. Her crocheted flowers decorate dull walls and fences around the city. One of her newest compositions, called Flowers of the Turtle Island, pays homage to the indigenous Lenape people who used to live on the island of Manhattan. They believed the world rested on the back of a giant turtle and was as beautiful as wildflowers.
The last mural that was here, I still have two of the large flowers, like 5-6 foot flowers. The 8 foot dahlia went to Milan for an exhibition and then it was auctioned off for charity. So I don't know who has it, but it was great that it had a second life.
Lawrence and her supporters hope to decorate the city and engage people.
I want to touch, so we try to put them on the opposite side. So when you pass your hand, you don't hurt yourself.
Street lamps, trees, benches, bridges, even statues, they make sure their network hugs everything and keeps it warm and cozy. The famous bull from Wall Street, not a problem. Decorate street lamps with rainbow knits for the annual Pride Parade, easy. The most peaceful and the coziest form of activism, and definitely one of the most beautiful. The one disadvantage of yarn bombing is its short lifespan. A couple of months outdoors, and even the brightest acrylic fades. Of course, the artists need permission from local authorities and private owners to decorate many of the objects. Lawrence usually gets a year-long clearance for her projects.
Part of the responsibility of having something that in the public domain is the upkeep.
Illegal crocheting in the street is considered vandalism. And though New York City police have far more important issues to tend to, Lawrence needs to be sure. Her knit projects bring the city nothing but joy, a splash of color, and maybe a little extra warmth. For Nina Vishnova in New York, Anna Rice, VOA News.
Read and see more on this story at VOA Asia Facebook. That's all the time we have for today's VOA Asia. Make sure you find us on all our social media platforms. Like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and at voanews.com. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team includes Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, and Jessica Stone. I'm Chris Gasqueo in Washington. Enjoy the day, stay safe, and be well.